Hello, my brothers and sisters. Good to see you tuning in on this, our noonday Bible study again, and I pray your week has gone well. I am grateful again to be in the house of the Lord. What a blessing it is to enter in on these Wednesdays and search the scriptures for our spiritual health. And I pray that you've been doing well. And I pray that even under this pandemic, the Lord is giving you the strength you need to go day by day. Hopefully soon we'll be out of this. Not necessarily out of this completely the same as we went in, but hopefully it will get back to somewhat normal very, very soon. We talk to you, you'll hear more about reopening plans. We'll be there soon. And I know there are many who are anxiously awaiting the doors opening back up. So keep that in prayer. We'll talk more at the end of the service today. Y'all remember last week we started lesson two of getting to know God. And we shared with you the attribute of God, of his omniscience, omnipresence. God is everywhere at the same time. So I pray the first lesson had to do with his omniscient. He knows all, omnipresent. He is everywhere. And we started the lesson last week. We want to conclude it this week. And I pray you've downloaded the outline. We've filled in most of that. Go back and look at last week's lesson, and you can fill in the blanks. I'll give them to you real quick just to jump out there. Let's pray, and we'll jump right into it. Most gracious and eternal God, we again are grateful that you have allowed us this time, this moment, this opportunity to be led down into the deep treasures of your word. We pray your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Let us give us what we need in order to be good soldiers of the cross. Help us to get to know you just a little bit better. And Lord, we know that when we do that and understand who you are and all of your attributes, it will help us live a life that pleases you. Thank you, Lord. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, beloved, last week we jumped off into this ideal of omniscience, omnipresence of God, and that God is literally and everywhere at the same time. That's the ideal. God is everywhere. That is the definition. It does not mean God is in everything, but he is everywhere. And we were sharing with you there are certain benefits that we have when we recognize, literally recognize the presence of Almighty God. That is on your outline where we shared with you Acts chapter 17, where it says, in him, we live and move and have our being. We are alive simply because of God. He is everywhere at the same time. We wouldn't even be alive had it not been for God. We cannot move apart from God. We cannot breathe apart from God. Saved or unsaved, we are here on planet Earth simply because God created us. And we literally would not be around it had it not been for God. So God is everywhere, and we live and move and have our being in God. We are alive because of God. It is God who holds it all together. He holds the whole, I think we used to sing it, God holds the world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. And the vast universe that we have is all put together and made and created by God. And so we want to learn more about God, learn more about his attributes, and this attribute is the the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere at the same time. So what are the benefits? And so on your outline, we got the fact is that God is always with me. I just need to recognize it. God is there, whether we want to believe it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, God is right there. He is with us, and we've got to recognize it. There is a benefit in recognizing that God is there. I got to be aware of the presence of God no matter where I am or what I'm doing. I've got to recognize that our God is there. Jeremiah, that scripture says, I am a God who is everywhere and not in one place. Do you not know that I am everywhere in heaven and in earth? I like the way the English Standard Version puts that. God says, I feel the earth. I feel the earth. I'm everywhere. And what are the benefits of being aware or recognizing? That's the idea. That's the fact. God is everywhere, and on your outline, you put in that blank there. You should have put in that blank. I need to recognize it. I need to recognize it or be aware of the presence of God. As a believer, we got to be aware. So what are the benefits? The first thing we gave you last week was, when I'm lonely, God is my companion. We gave you supporting scriptures on that. That Psalms 25, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is there when I'm lonely. And then the benefit that we gave you is this. When I am lonely, the benefit is God's presence cheers me up. When I'm lonely, God's presence cheers me up. We looked at David in Psalms 16, verse 11. He says, your presence fills me with joy. Joy. And we know that joy is not because of what I'm in, but in spite of what I'm going through, I still have joy. We used to sing that song, I still have joy, based upon the fact that no matter what I've been through or going through, I still have joy. So when I'm lonely, God's presence cheers me up. I'm not there by myself. I got God. May not be able to talk to anybody else. And even if I'm lonely, the presence of God, knowing that he's there, one of the ways he does that a lot of times is he sends other people our way to remind us that God is right there. Sometimes we feel isolated and alone and by ourselves. And when those times happen, we got to know that God's there. That's the omnipresence of God. He is right there. If I can't talk to anybody, I can talk to God. Is that all right to say? I hope it is today. And perhaps we said last week that you're feeling isolated and alone during this pandemic, strange time that we are in as a people, as a planet, and you're feeling isolated and alone all by yourself, even if you're on one side or the other of this taking the shot. You may feel isolated, you may feel alone, but know as a believer that God is right there. He's there, and matter of fact, he calls us friend, that's why we used to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and something to bear. What is that? How does that go, Mo? Say it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our, y'all know the song. I'll remember it soon. I'm getting old, a little gray. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's our friend. And when I'm alone, when I'm lonely, God is there. He's my companion. He cheers me up. He cheers me up. In other words, I like this part. Knowing that I'm not by myself, it makes me feel better. Because you can be alone and isolated out there and thinking no one cares, no one's there, but God is. He's everywhere. So Benefit is God's presence. He cheers me up. Number two that we shared is that when I'm worried, God is my confidence. When I am worried, God is my confidence. That Isaiah chapter 43 verse that we looked at, when you go through the deep waters, what does God say? I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you won't drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you won't burn up. And listen, we know this verse a lot. All of the stuff, and this is just for free, all the stuff that we've been through as a people, those of us whose skin has been darkened by nature's sun, are we of an ebony hue? We realize that when we got to walk through the fire of oppression, you know, God, they tried to rob us of a lot of stuff, but we are resilient and still here. It is because of the strength of God and God carrying us through. That's even no matter who you are as a believer, had to go through difficult times and you had to worry about finances or your fitness or you had to worry about your family or your friends to know. And listen, it is human to worry or be stressed. I hope you hear that. But there is something on the inside of us that can help us through the worry. I like the scripture that says, do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. It's the ideal of be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. We worry about finances and fitness and family and all of the other stuff that in our future. And when I'm worried, listen, God is my confidence. He is my confidence. He says, I will be with you. God is there. He is there for us. I like that scripture we read out of Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. Nothing can shake me. You see that? Nothing can shake me. I am completely secure. Nothing can shake me. I am completely secure. So when I'm worried, God is my confidence. And the ideal is that here's the benefit. When I'm worried, God is my confidence. So God's presence, here's the benefit, calms me down. It calms me down. I'm worried. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of stress. And so when I'm worried and I'm living in the presence of God, it ought to calm me down. I have the confidence that, as Paul said in Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this, whatever it is that I'm worried about, whatever it is, knowing that it is Christ who gives me the strength to do this, to get through this, to handle whatever it is that I'm worried about. I hope that makes sense to all of us. Even when it comes to death, we understand. That psalm, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Even when we walk through death and challenges and we worried about all that, he says, I won't fear because God is with me. I hope y'all see that. So the benefit is God cheers me up. God cheers me up when I am lonely. God calms me down when I am worried. I realize that I can handle it. He gives me, when I'm worried, he stabilizes me. He gives me the calming effect that everything is going to be okay. I hope you get that today. That's a word for somebody. I know you're stressed out. I know you're going through it, but listen, trust God. Trust in his presence of being right there in that situation with you, and everything is going to be okay. It may not turn out the way you want it to, But it's going to be okay. God will see us through. Are you hearing me? So it ought to calm us down. I'm living in the presence of God. It ought to calm me down. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about the finances. I'm worried about my fitness. But whatever it is, God is bigger than whatever we are worried about. Hear me and hear me good, beloved. Nothing is too hard for God. Is that all right to say? So when I'm worried, God is my confidence. He calms me down. When I am lonely, God is my companion. He cheers me up. He's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thirdly, when I am tempted, God is my counselor. We talked about last week that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Listen, but God is faithful that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Watch this, beyond what you're able to bear. He will also provide a way of escape. A couple of things we shared last week. Listen, first thing we shared was that, number one, whatever you're being tempted by is common to all men. It is nothing new under the sun. Help me hear somebody. We all have the same problem. We all have temptations in our life. And so whatever your temptation is may not be my temptation, but you got them. And whatever my temptations is may not be yours, but you got them. So it's common. Every person is tempted by something. Hello, somebody. Whether it's chocolate cake, come on, somebody help me, or whatever it is, you tempt, whatever it is. I often use the analogy of my wife and chocolate, but everybody got their own chocolate. Hello, somebody. Tempted by something. And then the second thing that we said was that when I'm tempted, that verse says that God is right there. How he gonna provide a way of escape if he's not there? He's there. He sees it all. He understands it all. He knows what we're being tempted by, so that he says, I will provide a way of escape. That's the third thing. God is trying to show you a way out of the temptation. And listen, beloved, he's pulling for us. He sees what's coming before we see it. He knows what we're about to walk into, and he's already provided a way of escape. Is that all right to say? So here is my benefit. If God, when I'm tempted, he's my counselor. The benefit is this: God helps me to maintain control. Write that in that blank. If you don't have it, God helps me to maintain control. That's the benefit. Listen, it is. He promises that it won't be just about willpower. He lives in us. He will give us strength and power. He promised to help us, provide a way of escape. When I am tempted, he's my counselor. He gives me advice. He tells me where the way out is. He lets me know, hello somebody, that he's going to help me out. So whatever temptation you're faced with today, at work, at home, at school, God is there, and he will help us, right? In time of that temptation. Look at that, Job. God, you keep me, keep a close watch on all my paths. You keep a close watch on all my paths. That ideal of close, write that down. Because God is everywhere. He sees everything. And, you know, he sees it. He knows it. He's ever present. And so that's how he keeps watch over all of our path. He's there. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. And he is an eyewitness to every single thing I do. Can't hide from God. Hello, somebody. And much as we like Jonah in that scripture 1:10, and Jonah, where they were on the boat, and Jonah confessed that he was a Hebrew, and he served the true and living God. And then they sensed that he was trying to run from the presence of God. Listen, we like Jonah, we cannot run from the presence of God. You cannot run. God, you can't do it. And he's in the office, he's in the car going to work, he's at school, he's at home, he's in the bedroom. And that slogan, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, that's good for us, but it ain't good for God. Hello, somebody, because God is there. He knows whatever happens in Vegas. You may not tell any human person, but God already knows. We can't lock God in, and we cannot lock God out. He is everywhere, and whatever happened in Vegas ain't no surprise to God. He's there. Psalms 139, it says, surely if I hide in the darkness, let me read it for you real quick so that we can get it. Psalms 139 verse 11. Psalms 139 verse 11. Watch what it says. If I say, this is the psalmist, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. In other words, I can hide in the dark. Listen, and the light about me be night. He says, even in the darkness is not dark to you. Hello, somebody. The night is bright as day. Get that. For darkness is as light to you. God, no, a lot of stuff done in the dark. Like Flip Wilson said, give me a booth in the back, in the corner, in the dark. Listen, God sees in the dark. Hello, somebody. It's just like that Psalms 139 verse 11 says, it's just like light to him. God sees it all. Can't hide in Vegas, can't hide anywhere. God sees it all. So when I'm tempted, God is my counselor. He will provide a way. He will help me to maintain control. Are you listening to me? Yeah, God has night vision. Hello. I often say that when it comes to weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I say God works the night shift. Joy comes in the morning because we wept all night. God works the night shift. On this one, I would say God has night vision. He can see in the dark. Are you listening to me? So he created it. He knows it. You know, and the Bible says men love darkness rather than light in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, verse chapter 3, verse 19. It's the ideal is that, you know, because their deeds are evil. It's night. And so we think we can hide, but we cannot. So living in the presence of God helps us to understand that if God is omnipresent, if he is everywhere at the same time, when I am tempted, God will be right there as my counselor. Watch this. So here's the benefit. God helps me to maintain control. God helps me to maintain control. That is the benefit. God will help us to maintain control. You all remember, see, y'all remember Sizzler? They used to have these chicken, these little, they would come out and then people would grab them up and all that stuff. Y'all remember that? But there was a time, so if nobody was there, you just piled all that, them little chicken wings on your plate. But if somebody was watching you, you didn't always, you know, you're like, okay, I better leave some for somebody else. But if wasn't nobody there and nobody was watching, but listen, there's a motivation when we realize that somebody's watching us. So that even during these temptations, people may not be around, but know that God is there. So living in the presence of God, sort of like when we were in school, we wasn't going to cheat on, some of y'all didn't cheat. So I can't tell you that I never cheated on in school when I was coming up. You know, if I could get the answers from Susie's page just by looking over there, I probably would have done it, and I probably did it. I'm just saying, I wasn't that smart in elementary, so I had to get some help any way I could. But if the teacher was there, you know, standing over us, watching us, you know, you wasn't going to look on nobody else's paper. Why? Because there's motivation when somebody's watching us. We ain't going to do what's wrong. God is always watching. And so living in his presence, you know, and learning to live in the presence of God, especially when we are tempted. Listen, we realize that God is there to give us the advice that we need, and listen, he will help us to maintain control. When people are watching, when God is watching, that ought to motivate us to want to do the right thing. When I'm tempted, he's my counselor. He will make a way of escape. He's there. Is that all right to say? So that's the benefit, because, you know, some people say sometime, you know, I like if I'm in the barbershop or somewhere and I'm sitting there and they know I'm Rev, they'll say a cuss word, and then they hit me and say, excuse me, Rev. You know, I'm like, you know, I don't ever say it, but I like, don't excuse me, you know, and them words I done heard before. I said, but the truth is this, God heard what you said anyway. Matter of fact, the Bible says every idle word we're going to have to give an account to. So God hears it all. He sees it all. He's right there. We can't hide from God. He is our counselor, and God will help us to maintain control. Woo, doggy. I hope somebody hears that. That's why we got to live in his presence. That's why it's good to know of the omnipresence of God. There is nowhere that God is not. Are you listening to me? So the fourth thing that we wanted to share with you, and that was this: when I am discouraged, God is my counselor. When I am discouraged, I'm sorry, God is my comforter. When I am discouraged, God is my comforter. That's when I'm tempted, God is my counselor. When I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. Psalms 34, verse 8, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who've lost all hope. He saves those who lost all hope. God is there. God is near. When we're discouraged, he's our comforter. He's near. Circle that word near on that outline. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. One thing we can say with confidence is that God is there. That ought to give us comfort. The Lord is near. The Lord is close. This is what the English Standard Version says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. You ever had your heart broken in many different ways, whether it be romantic love or somebody close to you? Breaks your heart. Somebody passes on that's close to you. It breaks your heart. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And then I like the way the English Standard Version says, and it saves the crushed in spirit. He saves the crushed in spirit. He delivers. He brings us out, those that are crushed in spirit, those that are without hope. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it? How am I going to deal with this issue? How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it through? The Lord saves the crushed in spirit. When it seems all hope is gone, living in the presence of God, knowing that God is right there. Listen, when I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. He comforts me. God is my comfort. Listen, when I'm discouraged or feeling hurt, you know, we ask, where is God when I'm going through this? God's there. He's right there. When we feel, discouragement or frustration, God is there. And some folk right now, you're going through some tough times and you're a bit discouraged. I get it. It's a lot going on in the world. It's a litany of things that are happening right now in the world, in our own personal lives. There's a lot of things that can discourage us, you know, whether it be our family or our finances or other stuff, whether it could be problems or predicaments that seem to arise out of nowhere, whatever it is. Life can hit us so hard at times that it kind of throws us off or discourages us. And that's one of the greatest tools of the enemy, is to discourage us, to make us feel as if there is no hope. Are you listening to me? And the word etymologically, I think that's how you pronounce that, discourage, that is the absence of courage. I don't have the courage, but I'm discouraged. It's not there. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And God is there. That's that ideal on your outline, that John 14, verses 16, 17. I'm going to read it I'm going to read it in the English Standard Version there. It's put there, but I want to read it for you. John 14, find that for us. And it is, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Watch what he says. And this is, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's verse 15. Verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or another version says helper. He will be, this ideal, the word there literally means, it's paraclete, come alongside. Someone who will come alongside of us to help us, comfort us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Someone who's going to walk with us, you know, through the difficult times. He's talking about Jesus is off the scene, and when he's off the scene, the Father is going to send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give us the comfort that we need, to help us through, and to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, and he, watch this, dwells with you, watch this, and will be what? In you. I'm going away. The Father's going to send a comforter, a helper, one to come alongside of us. Listen, if nobody else is there, not only do we have the Spirit of God with us, but he is in us. That ought to be good news for somebody today. God's there. He's there. The comforter, no matter what we go through next week, no matter what we're going through this week, no matter what's happening today, God is there. When the roof caves in, God is there. When trouble is on every side and I'm feeling discouraged, when I don't know how to maneuver during this pandemic, I'm unsure of, I just came out of Texas, and so I'm seeing that in different regions that, you know, folk are taking this pandemic one way or the other. There's a whole lot of folk at when I left Texas, they ain't caring about masking up. Amen, somebody. And if you go up north somewhere in California, they ain't worried about masking up. But in other areas where we feel as if we are more susceptible to the COVID-19, the discouragement. And so we're trying to figure out how to maneuver. Should I get the shot? Should I not get the shot? And you know who's telling the truth and who's telling you a lie. Can I believe the doctors and Dr. Fauci? And can I, all of this stuff. And it can discourage us. Some folk have lost jobs over this whole thing. Some folk have been alienated by their family members because they choose one side or the other. Listen, when the roof caves in, when the pressure is on, I don't care what side of the fence you're on when it comes to this pandemic, you better recognize that God is there. God is there. God is there. Even in our unsurety, even when we are unsettled, God is there as our comforter. I will never, and that comforter, that helper will never leave us. God is sympathetic to our stress that we're going through. Listen, I just left. Where we did the committal service for our brother Terrell Carter and our sister, brother Tracy and his mother, one of the things that Tracy got up and said, and it reminded me that we said that, they said that during Terrell's homegoing, that stress kills. Stress kills. Stress kills. And listen, beloved, the truth is that that is so true. And but God is sympathetic to the stress that we go through. He understands what we're feeling in this life. And, you know, he gets that. He sends the comforter to not only be with us, but to be in us. And somebody's thinking about this from an intellectual standpoint. I know God is with me. He says it in the book. But somebody knows that from more than an intellectual standpoint, somebody has been through something recently and you felt the presence of God. You were discouraged. You were down. You were out. And you felt the presence of God right there. Help me hear somebody. Yeah, it's not just intellect. It moves from off the pages of the book, and we learn to live it out in our own life. It becomes reality based upon what we know and what we sense and what we understand. You didn't know how you were going to get through, but you sensed the presence of God in your life, and he just brought you through something. You didn't just get over it, but he brought you through it. Are you listening to me? Not just intellectual, not just because I read it, but I literally experienced God in such a way that when I was down, when I was discouraged, when I was about to throw in the towel and quit, I felt the presence of God right there, and he became my source of comfort. Whew, help me hear somebody. The truth of the matter is, beloved, that's it. That's what we're looking for. We've been in some deep waters lately. God's been there. We've had some fires that we had to go through, but we felt the presence of God right there. Listen, beloved, I see a whole lot of different reactions on a whole lot of different scales when we're talking about death and funerals, and when we're talking about tragedy or discouragement. I've seen a gamut of responses from people, even the people of God. I've been at funerals where people didn't want to let the loved one go. I get it. Where they even tried to jump in the casket. I get it. Help me hear somebody. But the reality of it is, here's what I don't understand, and I'm trying to grab a hold of it. I don't know how people go through difficult situations without God. That's what I don't get. Listen, had it not been for God on a whole lot of levels in my own life, I would have literally lost it, gone mad or crazy. So I don't know how folk make it without God. I don't get how people can get through circumstances that are tragic or difficult. The death of a child, especially in their adolescence. I've had to bury children. And to me, I can't fathom how people get through that. How they had to bury a spouse who tragically was killed in a car accident, or somebody who has literally lost everything. I don't fathom how we can make it, how people make it without God. Listen, I don't know about you, but the only thing that has held me in my life up to this point is the Lord himself. Whew, help me hear somebody. And I know, I get it, you know, folk don't want to believe in God or trust that there is a God. And I get, you know, but to me, that's a rough reality to live in. If I know that God is there, if I understand that he cares about me and that he's not going to let anything happen to me outside of his will, that he doesn't allow to happen for my good and for his glory, listen, I would have lost it long time ago. And I ain't out here by myself. I know you would have too. So many difficult things have happened in our lives, so many tragic experiences. I don't know how folk who are abused go can continue to make it literally, physically, and sexually, and emotionally abused. I don't know how they make it without God. I would have lost my mind, or I probably would have went postal. You'll get that on the way home. Just would have went 5150, crazy. Went off on somebody, done something crazy. Are you hearing me? But God, but God, but God. That's the only way we make it. That's so when I'm discouraged, he's my comforter, he's there. And and the ideal, look at that, Psalms 116, verse 8 and 9. And it's on your outline. I want to read it from the English Standard Version. Psalms 116, verses 8 through 11. Psalms 116, verse 8 and 11. Psalms 116, right? Verse 8 and 11. He says, "For you have delivered my soul from death." Watch that. That's that ideal. But he says, "And you also have delivered my eyes from tears and my feet from stumbling." You've delivered me. He says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." He said, "I'm going to live in the presence of God." He says, Because the Lord has delivered my soul from death. I was literally on the verges of not making it. Listen, you delivered my eyes from tears. You wiped the tears from my eyes, and you kept my feet from stumbling. You kept me from defeat or falling or giving up or throwing in the towel. He says, in other words, so I walk in the presence of the Lord. Watch what he says. Watch this. "I believe even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted." He says, "I'm going to believe God even though I'm still going through it, even though I'm completely crushed." That's the ideal. That's it. When I'm greatly afflicted, he says, "I'm still going to believe God. I'm still going to trust God. I'm going to still put my all of my eggs in one basket, and that's the Lord. When I'm completely crushed, when I'm completely discouraged, I'm still going to trust God." Watch what he says. He says, "In my alarm, all mankind are liars." In other words, I can't trust anybody. Even when I can't trust anybody, you know, he says, "I'm going to keep trusting in God when I am afraid, when I'm alarmed, and no one can be trusted." He says, "I'm going to keep on believing. When I can't trust men, I'm going to keep on trusting God. When I cannot believe what comes out of the mouth of men, I'm going to believe what thus saith the Lord. I'm going to keep on believing." Get that. Get that. I'm going to keep on believing. He says, "Because the Lord, I know it was God who delivered me from death, who delivered me from defeat, who wiped tears from my eyes. So I'm going to keep on believing, no matter what they try to do, no matter what affliction is coming my way, no matter how difficult it makes me, how difficult the situation, how discouraging the situation makes me feel, I will keep believing God. I'm going to keep trusting God." Listen, somebody needs to hear that today. Listen, you've been through it. And one of the ways that you can keep trusting God is because you look back over your life and you see where God has met you in the past. If he kept you back then, he will keep you today. Keep believing, beloved. Keep hanging in there and don't give up. So, here it is. This is the ideal. Here it is the times where we feel discouraged and ready to quit and going through it, feel like we're going in the wrong direction without the presence of God, our encouragement in our life, we would not have made it. Is that all right to say? Times I think I'm defeated or completely crushed, Nobody can be relied on. Listen, that's when we need to recognize the presence of God in our life. Here is the benefit. Watch this. Here's the benefit. God's presence, that when I am discouraged, God's presence sees me through. God will see me through. God will see me through. It gives me motivation to keep on going. When I'm living in his presence, when God is there, I've seen the Lord stop up my tears. He rescued me from defeat. And so, therefore, I'm going to keep on believing. It'll see me through. If, when I'm discouraged, God's my comforter. And because he's my comforter, because he's right there, listen, God will see me through. Somebody can testify today that God seen us through. God seen us through. We kept on going in the power of God. Not in our own strength, not in our own ingenuity, not in our own walk of life. God kept us going. He sent us a comforter. Listen, and he saw us through. I want you to look at this real quick. I don't have a whole lot of time. But look at that scripture on 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. We preach this during funeral service and all of that. But watch what Paul tells the church at Corinth. He says, and this is starting at verse number 3. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, that God does not give us what we deserve, Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. If you got your Bible and you highlight stuff, circle that word all. The God of all comfort. This is what he does. Verse 4, he comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to what? Comfort those who are in any affliction. In other words, God allows us to go through stuff so that we can turn around. God allows us to go through affliction so that we can turn around and comfort somebody else with the comfort that we've been comforted with. With the God who carried us through. Listen, and watch what he says in verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. In other words, the more we suffer for Christ, the more we go through it for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort. That's the ideal of verse 5. If you're going through it and it's a lot, he says the more God is going to abundantly, he's going to shower us with his comfort, the comfort that comes from Christ. He is the God of all comforts. And the more we go through it, the more God is right there to comfort us in our affliction. And this text suggests, and get this, that he sends folk. Yeah, that's why a lot of times when folk are going through challenges and difficulty, I often tell them, you're not alone in this. You're not by yourself in this. We're here to walk with you through it. Why? Because the God who comforted us is the same God that can comfort them. He comforted us in our affliction, so we turn around and comfort somebody else. And let me just help you real quick. Some of y'all been through stuff already, and you should be at that place. There should be a place where you can turn around. There should be a time where you can turn around and help somebody else. I got a good close friend that I often share with her. I often tell her, she was one of my members in San Francisco. Love her as a sister. God sent her son home to be with him. He was a young child, and I often tell her, I've watched her. God use her in sharing her story and her love with other mothers who have gone through similar experiences. She's able to comfort others because God comforted her. Are you listening to me? I often tell her, she knows who she is. If you're listening, there's a book in you. I tell you that often, and you need to write that book so you can help others through that. But listen, that's what God is. He comforts us. And the more we are going through that affliction, the more God will shower. I like that. The more God will shower. And it says, the text says, share abundantly. Get that. He will share abundantly. He will keep pouring on as much as we need to get through it. Is that all right to say? God is there. He's right there to see us through. Listen, when I am discouraged, God is my comforter. The benefit is God will see me through. What I got to do in that verse that we just read, what the psalmist says, he says, I will literally walk in the presence of God. How do you do that? How do you actually walk in the presence of God? How do you do that? I mean, it's hard enough, you know, on this side, but how do you walk in the presence of God? Let me just give you a couple of things real quick. And this is how you practice the presence of God on your outline. Here's the secrets. Four secrets. These are secrets. Don't tell nobody I told you, but here are the secrets. If it's a secret, you don't tell nobody. I'm just playing. But it's a secret. First thing is this, and put that on that asterisk. Invite Jesus into your life. If you haven't done so already, invite Jesus into your life. You're listening to me. You heard that church is having Bible study. If you have not invited Christ into your life, listen, beloved, it's a good time to do so right now. God wants to be around you. He's around you. That's the omnipresence of God. But he also wants to live in you. Are you hearing me? God is around you, but he wants to live in you. And listen, when we are going through the troubles of this life, the pressures that are on the outside, the Bible declares that when we come to the Lord, his spirit takes up residence in the believer. And that's where he says, where we've read in John, he will not only be with us, but he will be in us. He will live with us. The Spirit of God will live in us. So when we give our life to Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart, in our life. So when the pressures on the outside come pushing in, we need something on the inside that is strong enough to push out the pressure. So get Christ in your life. That's what that scripture there, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We got so much of the Spirit in us. When with the pressures of life, we want to fill our body with other things. We want to fill it with that ooh-wee and that them drugs or that liquor or whatever it is to help us to cope with whatever it is that we're dealing with. But the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you look at Colossians chapter 3, you'll see that being filled with the Spirit is the same as filling up with the Word of God. The more we put the Word of God in us, the more the Spirit begins to feed and live on the inside to be able to help us with the pressures of this life. That's how we live in the presence of God. First of all, you got to put Christ in, you got to invite Christ into your heart if you haven't done so already. The second thing we got to do is be quiet. Just be quiet. First, invite Christ into your heart, and you want to live in the presence of God. Practice being quiet. Listen, a whole lot of us talk too much. Listen, we're distracted and so busy. Sometimes we got to be still. That's what that Psalms 46 verse 10 says. Be still and know that I am God. When you look at Psalms 46, you'll find that it talks about a whole lot of distractions and mountains going into the sea and all this other stuff that's happening. And then it gets to verse 10 and says, be still and know that I am God. It is only a lot of times when we are still that we feel the presence of God, that we know he's in control. Mountains could be going into the rivers, but when we're still, we hear a still, quiet voice that allows us to recognize that he is God and God alone. Are you hearing me? That's the ideal there. I like the way Pascal says, most of man's problems comes from an inability to be still. Most of man's problems, we can't still ourselves enough, be silent enough to hear from God. And sometimes we got to commune with God, and we got to learn how to be still. All this commotion is going on the inside, outside. We got to learn to still ourselves every single day before the Lord. Be still, be quiet. That's the first. Second thing, I like the way James says, and here it is. He says, draw near to God, and what will God do? James says, if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Draw near to him. He's there. And you will begin to feel that the presence of God. God gonna draw near when we draw near to him. Be still. Be quiet. Make sure God is in your... The third thing is, we got to learn how to talk to God about everything. How do I practice the presence of God? I got to pray without ceasing. That's that ideal there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. Pray without ceasing. Do I walk around praying? No, we don't do that. But we do. We just like I'm talking to you right now, I talk to God. I pray without ceasing. As I am going, I'm praying every day, praying every moment about certain things. I'm talking to God throughout my day. I know when I'm getting dressed in the morning, I probably, if you were to listen in, it sound like K-Ray is a crazy man. Because I'm in there talking, and ain't nobody in there except for God. Hello, somebody. And when I go through my day, if I sit in a meeting that's tough, I'm sitting there talking to God. God, give me strength to handle this situation. God, help me to say what I need to say with boldness and conviction. Help me to stand on your word and make it plain when I'm trying to share what thus saith the Lord. You know, I'm talking to God. And so that's the ideal of talking to God about everything. You know, sometimes I was like, Lord, what am I going to eat today? You know, because I can't keep eating Jim Boys, amen, because it's already, you know, doing a little something here since I moved back, and I know I need salad and other stuff. And sometimes I have to ask God, okay, show me something good to eat today. And I might need to get a salad from Panera Bread or something like that. But you talk to God about everything. Nothing is beyond the scope of God. Are you hearing me? Psalm 62 verse 9 says, trust him at all times and pour out your heart to him. In the good times, in the tough times, in the bad times, we live in the presence of God on a regular. And we talk to God about everything, right? Are you hearing me? Listen, somebody feels that their prayers don't go past the ceiling. That's okay, because God is below the ceiling. Hello, somebody. He in the room with you. He next to you. You ought to, yeah, you can say hallelujah. Amen, because he's there. And then the last thing is this. Develop a habit of praise. Develop a habit of praise. Get God in your heart. Be still, talk to God about everything, but develop, lastly, the habit of praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That ain't just talking about church. You can enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your own home. You can do that in your car. You can do that in the shower. You can do that wherever you are. You can enter into his presence. That's the ideal, with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that things are as well as they are. I know they could have been worse. I know they could have been tough. I know they could have been more challenging than they are. But I'm grateful. I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for the roof over my head. Thank you, Lord. And so we begin to live and develop the habit of giving God praise. That's how, and one scripture says it like this, God inhabits the praises of his people, that he literally lives in his praises, that God is there when we begin to praise him. It's a habit of praise. You're talking to him. You're giving him glory and honor and thanks. That's the ideal. Enter his courts with praise. God is equally present no matter where we are. And what's the point there is that since God is everywhere, I can praise him anywhere. Since he's everywhere, at the same time, I can praise him anywhere. It does not matter. You ain't got to come to church. Quit all this stuff. Well, I miss another fellow. I get it. I get that. But don't say you can't praise God from your home. We just got to do it a different way right now. You got to just throw it out there a different kind of way. You got to learn to live in his presence and give him praise and glory no matter where you are. Where God is, if he's everywhere, then we can praise him anywhere. That's what we should be doing while we are online, while we are discouraged, while we are watching church from a website. We ought to be able to still give God glory. Woo, help me hear somebody. You ought to be able to praise God everywhere. Is that all right to say? So, since God is everywhere, listen, we got to learn how to give him praise. We got to develop the habit of praise. I done taught myself happy. I'm trying to calm down. Little help me hear Jesus. Look, listen. How do you do that? How do you develop that habit? Number one, make sure he's in your life. Number two, you gotta be quiet. Be still. Learn to turn off the television. Learn to stop playing the bubbles game, whatever that is. Find words with friends. Turn off the phone. Turn off the distractions. Turn off the television. Turn off the. Be still. And then talk to God about everything. And then develop a habit of praise. I'm done today. But what a mighty God we serve. All right, I'm a minute past my time. But what a mighty God we serve. We got to learn how to live in his presence. His presence will help us. His presence will keep us. His presence will allow us when we're tempted, when we are lonely. It will help us when we are discouraged. Living in his presence on a regular basis helps me to understand that I'm going to be all right. Everything is going to be okay. If God is with me, and he is, everything will be okay. All right, beloved, we will see you on Sunday. I'm done for today, and I pray that you are living in the presence of God. If you want to cuss out that little girl at the Piggly Wiggly or the Safeway or the Bank of America, don't do it. God's right there. I know we want to, but God will hold us when we're tempted to do it. God will give us the strength. Note this, beloved. We praise be to God. We are working on reopening. So keep it in prayer. We're looking at Second Sunday. Register online, and I pray that you're looking through our website. We're redesigning the website, and we've got a whole lot of stuff planned ahead. So what I need you to do, beloved, is keep it in prayer. Let's continue to. I know the ballpark is open, and other churches are open. I know that there are supermarkets and Safeway and what's the big box store? Costco. I know Costco is. I know. So we're still going to keep what we can as far as the protocols in place. We're talking about reopening. We want a grand reopening, and I think we did the right thing at first. But so pray, lift it up to the Lord. And as we close out this last quarter of the year, what my prayer is that we close out strong and confident in the Lord, knowing that our God is with us. Love you, beloved, and I pray that you're praying as well. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. You are a great and awesome God. Help us every day to live in your presence. Help us to be still. Help us to be quiet. Help us to talk to you about everything, and help us to develop a habit of praise. What a mighty God we serve, Lord. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or think. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said amen. God bless you. We shall see you Sunday. Tune in, and I shall see you Sunday. God bless you.